We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, do you know of any reason why one should not speak like the Bible speaks? Many religious people make no attempt to call Bible things by Bible names. They seem not least interested in speaking like the Bible speaks. In our study for today, we ask the question, what is wrong with New Testament phraseology? Words are conveyors of ideas. They are vehicles of thought. They serve as an index to the heart. For example, constant profanity is the sign of a depraved heart. A profusion of frequent obscenity in language indicates the sensual nature of a person. Pure and wholesome words reflect a righteous soul. Jesus taught in Matthew 12:34-35, that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. One's religious vocabulary provides a sure index to his Bible knowledge and spiritual values. His reverence for spiritual entities, or his total disregard for that which is high and holy and sacred in its nature, is clearly discernible by his speech. One who has spent his life studying God's Word can soon form an appraisal of another's religious views by just listening to his choice of religious terms. Did you know that? Nehemiah observed a sad condition in his day which greatly grieved the nobility of his soul. He observed that Jewish men had married women of Ashdod, of Ammon, and Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. As you read about in Nehemiah 13:23-24. Nehemiah took immediate steps to remedy this grievous situation. But how much better it would have been had it never arisen, that is, the language of Ashdod. Children that were born to these mixed marriages grew up speaking a mixed language. They no longer retained the religious vocabulary that had been deeply ingrained into their ancestors by a working knowledge of Jehovah's sacred oracles. Strange-sounding expressions were proceeding from their lips. My friends, it seems that modern sin of speaking the language of Ashdod characterized many people today. So very much of what is said today in religious circles is foreign to New Testament phraseology. Speaking the language of Ashdod is not limited to Nehemiah's age. It is very much a part of the religious vocabulary of our times. In all its history of human denominationalism, there have been many religious phrases coined and designations made which have no Bible basis at all. Often the term church is misused and is contrary to the Bible meaning. To many people, the term church simply means an invisible church or a mystical body. By this, they have reference to some type of gigantic religious body that includes the religious bodies of all shades and colors, regardless of origin, dogma, or manner of emphasis. That the New Testament never used the term church in such a way is quite evident to every Bible student. My friend, may I point out to you some language unknown in the Bible which gives a distorted meaning of Bible teaching, yet used by many people today. Frequently, you may hear someone speak of joining the church or joining the church of your choice. This is not Bible language, but quite the opposite. Why not just speak like the Bible speaks? The Bible speaks of the saved as those who are members of the church. Now listen to the Bible. Acts 2:48. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Really, it is not my choice or your choice. It is Christ who adds the saved to his church. It is not my church or your church. The church, composed of the saved, is Christ's church. To speak like the Bible speaks, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. And the Bible says, the churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16:16. To speak like the Bible speaks is to say, All the saved are members of the Lord's church because those who are members of the Lord's church have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. Are you listening? Addressing the elders of the church in Ephesus, Paul said, "Feed the church of the Lord, of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Acts 20, verse 28. My friends, there are many other commonly used expressions not known in the Bible. Some of them include getting religion, praying through, the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, having an experience with Jesus, having a confrontation with Christ, witnessing for Christ, faith only saves, baptism being an outward sign of an inward grace, and a host of other expressions. These are greatly in vogue and have been for many years. But I assure you, beloved, such is not Bible language. But you must understand that there are Bible words that we can use and understand. Most religious denominations of our time, for example, call their preachers pastors, without realizing that in the Bible, pastors were elders or bishops of the church. Paul in Ephesians 4:11 makes a clear distinction between evangelists or preachers and pastors. Often these same religious groups will confer upon their preachers the title reverend or some other designation to set them apart from their brethren. And yet actually the term reverend refers to God and is used only one time in the Bible. Others may call their leaders father. But have you read what Jesus said about this in Matthew 23, verses 8 through 11? Our Lord declared, now listen, this is what the Bible says. "Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven." That's speaking like the Bible speaks. You can be sure, my friends, no New Testament preacher ever wore such religious titles or was ever addressed as such. More recently, there has been a cowardly capitulation to the vocabulary used by the hippies. Modern religious leaders by the masses now attempt to confront these younger rebels with such terms as tune in, turn off, turn on, get high on Jesus, get hooked on Jesus, become intoxicated with Jesus, living in high, soul talks, or referring to youth as Jesus freaks. Some have even sought to leave the impression that Jesus himself was a hippie. My friends, we deplore such depravity of language relating to God's Word and the Son of the living God. Paul never lowered the dignity of the gospel by sacrificing nobility of speech in his preaching. And surely, we need to understand that is significant today. Why not speak like the Bible speaks? Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that it is right to speak like the Bible speaks? Why not speak like the Bible speaks? Why not be silent where the Bible is silent? Why not call Bible things by Bible names? Don't you know that the divine wisdom of God is far superior to the human wisdom of man? Why not be satisfied in doing Bible things and Bible ways? My friends, we firmly believe that if we preach and practice the same gospel now, which was preached and practiced in the first century, we will be precisely what they were in the first century, that is, Christians only. In fact, if we preach now what they preached in New Testament times, and if people hear, believe, and obey what they heard, believed, and obeyed then, will not such people be what they were then, just Christians only? The nature of this plea is a practical one. It is a vital one. It is a valuable one. It is an imperative one. It is one we urge you to consider. It is a sad day in religious circles when so many prefer to talk in a language that is foreign to the vernacular of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Yes, such a pathetic condition existed in Nehemiah's day. As I have pointed out, the renowned prophet once observed, "In those days also saw I the Jews that had married women of Ashdod and of Ammon and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people." Theirs was a mixed language. It was not altogether Jewish, nor altogether paganistic. This happened to the children of God some 4 or 5 centuries before the birth of Christ, and it is happening to the children of God in the 20th century. Back then, it was caused by too much mingling and mixing of God's people with those from centers of pagan and heathen cultures and spiritual concepts. This was especially true from the offspring produced from the intermarriage of the Jews and the pagans. Is there not a lesson for us today? The language of Ashdod. Beloved, why are people today more concerned about speaking language not known in the Bible than that which is identified in the Bible? There are those who will brother any and every religious person on earth today, whether the person has become a Christian or not. People are not only our brethren in the sense of the flesh, but people are our brethren in a religious sense only if they have obeyed the gospel of Christ and have been born again, born into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, they are either non-brethren, if aliens, or erring brethren, if once they were Christians but have become unfaithful to the Lord. Yes, that are those who speak glibly of their being Christians in every church. If this is so, I raise the question, how many Christians do you suppose there are affiliated with the church of Satan? If the church does not matter, does this mean that the church of Satan is all right and that salvation can be achieved therein? We readily grant that a person can become a Christian and leave the Lord's church and become a member of some human religious denomination. But such is without divine approval. Beloved, hear me. Are you listening? If one can be all right in any human religious organization, and that is no need to urge him to become a member of the Lord's church. Unfortunately, some professed Christians of our day are so in love with the religious world around about them that they are ever interested in impressing the world with their theological training. Their language has a great deal more of Barth and Bruna and Tillich and others of modernistic company than that of Christ and the apostles, the language of Ashdod. My friends, let us speak where the Bible speaks. Listen to the word of the Lord. I say, are you listening? This is what the Bible says. Hear it, my friends. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. This is what the Bible says. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. This is what the Bible says. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Acts 22:16. Yes, my friends, this is what the Bible says. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. You know, if we all would speak like the Bible speaks, we would all be speaking the same things, wouldn't we? Now listen to this. It can't be wrong, because this is what the Bible says. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27.
Surely.
You can understand that simple Bible language. Surely we can understand the book that majors in simple language like that. You know, the average word in the King James Version has about 5 letters. Between 97 and 99% of all the recorded words of Jesus are in 1 or 2 syllables. Many people, speaking language foreign to the Bible, pride themselves in knowing so much more than does the so-called establishment. Surely, my friends, they should be able to understand simple Bible language. If their words are superior to the words of sound doctrine in the Bible, what is to keep them from concluding that their ideas are superior, since words are but signs of ideas? We absolutely deplore the employing of hippie language or any other expression unknown in the Bible that distorts and is a miscarriage of God's wisdom divinely revealed through His holy word, the Bible. Let us speak like the Bible speaks. Peter said, "If any man speaketh, speaking as it were the oracles of God." 1 Peter 4:11. Paul declared, "But speak thou the things which befit sound doctrine." Titus 2:1. Again the apostle said, "In all things showing thyself an example of good works, in thy doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us." Titus 2:7 and 8. These things, my friend, cannot be wrong because they are right. The world will never become acquainted with sound doctrine of the Bible until it is presented in the vehicle of sound words. Why not just